Hello, welcome to the Lincolncast. This is the Jai Bomb Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast for the week of May 11th. I'm your host, Self-Confessed Cynic, and this week's episode is going to be about PvP. So that's structured PvP in World vs. World, but first I'm going to introduce my guests today. Thank you, Noobarama, for pointing that out to me. Noobarama, hello.
Hi!
Oh, fuck. I mean, we discussed this. We're not supposed to do that on the podcast.
Do what?
The
Why
Republican
are you making
voice.
Fun of my voice?
That was not. Oh god! We'll
it helps him forget about
that.
His cancer.
What have you been up to this week, Noob?
I've been going through the Guild Wars menu, and I noticed that they added a settings button or an options button. So I've been clicking that over and over again and getting orgasms. I'm sorry.
Hey, if it works for him, I mean, who are we to judge?
So nothing's changed from last week,
no.
In other words. Except you found the button, which was there since last week.
I didn't notice it was there last week. You know, I've been going on there every day to listen to the
gear
music.
In the top left-hand corner.
But no, I didn't see it. And we played Guild Wars.
Oh, yeah, we did play Guild Wars. We totally played Guild Wars. You wrote me in. We played some Underworld, didn't we?
And you were fucking shit.
But you gave me a shit build. Oh, hey, yeah, play an Elementalist with this terrible healing build that we won't be using.
You know, just move on to the next person. Don't even try to make people listening this mad. Continue.
All right. Okay. We actually have a huge group of guests this week. But probably the premier, the foremost, the least interesting, maybe. I don't know. The co-guild leader of the Giant Bomb Guild, it is Robbie Mack.
Hello. Very uninteresting.
Such enthusiasm.
That was pretty much what I was hoping for. Yeah. What have you been up to this week, Robbie?
Been working. Then, I guess game-wise, all I really play is Gears of War 3.
Seriously?
Yep.
Now?
Yep, that's all
nowadays.
I play.
On an Xbox 360.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to do an equivalent of American or Canadian voice. So to me, actually, you sound pretty much the same. I can't really tell the difference. Like, if for example, if it was a Rawson talking or you talking, I can't tell the difference in accents at all. I'm terrible.
Canadians say Zed, so that's pretty much
that's
the dead giveaway.
Apparently we say a boot, but I can't confirm that.
Oh, damn it. Wait, so say things. Say about.
About.
Okay, what else was there? Does anyone have any ideas for Canadian speech?
I do say A a lot, though.
I will say
that a lot.
Awesome.
See, when you said about, I heard a boot, just saying.
it's more of like a bout.
Yeah, it rolls a bit. It rolls a bit on the U.
Is that just an extra U?
All right. It may be.
Yeah.
All right, so those sultry tones you're hearing right now is the one known Durin...
Hey.
We are full of life today. I like this.
You know what? An hour and a half ago, I had so much energy. I was pumped.
An hour and a half late. This is great.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wait, so how have you been doing, Durin?
Doing all right. I've been just trying not to really think too much about Guild Wars 2 until last night when I heard about the stress test thing, and now I'm just...
Oh, dude. Dude, wait, can you make it on that day? Oh, you're between jobs at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll have the time.
Oh, fuck you.
Lucky.
I wish I could be there.
It's
like 4 a.m. my
shit
time.
Anyway, remember what the first day of the event was? It's just going to be that all over again.
First day went pretty well for me.
So, have everything been reset? Like, the stats for the characters?
No, this one you get to keep
there.
Your character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, you will still be able to sit and jump at the same exact time.
Awesome! Best part of the first beta weekend event.
And you can lie down and do
Not
it
a
too.
Bug. It was intentional.
That's awesome. That's great. Alright, so that is Durin. I hope you get on the podcast again. I hope you enjoy it this time, because we've actually been sitting here for 1.5 hours before this started. So, next up is one of the last guests on today is Rawson. Did I say that right? I said it right? Yeah, Rawson.
Yeah, it's close enough.
You may know Rosen because he made an interesting post, a blog post in the Giant Bomb forums this week about Guild Wars 2. That's why I got him on, about PvP. Maybe he knows a little bit more than me, I hope he does anyway, about structured PvP this week. What have you been up to this week, Rawson?
I have just been eating nothing but fucking cough drops for the past few hours.
Oh. It's so not good for you. I think we had this discussion. Wait, so how long have you been sick for? This is like your fourth day, right?
It's been about a week.
Oh, wait, are you just having a coughing disease? Like, you're just coughing?
My face is... The things that come out of my face, I don't know if it's mucus or some new species of bug.
Oh, once anyone starts describing something with the words being, my face is... It's leaking. Usually good. But...
Leaking, yeah, that's a good word.
Oh, alright, and the last person on today... is Shinboy 630. Hello.
Hello.
That's right, right?
Yes.
630?
630,
oh,
yeah. Shinboy
630.
No, not 360. Sorry.
could you not get 360?
What was that?
Could you not get 360?
No, 630 is my birthday, so whatever. Yeah.
Oh.
End of June.
Yeah. See, the reason that didn't click is because you did it wrong. It's 30th of the 6th, you see.
No. Not in the good old US of A.
What the hell is 30th month of the year? What?
All right, and that's a motley crew for today, I believe. I didn't miss anyone, did we? There's six of us here, right?
Yep.
That's crazy. This is way too
that's
much.
That's June,
this is gonna
by
go
the
terrible.
Way. That's 2 years in June.
fuck you.
I'm not the only American here, am I?
No, I am as well.
Okay.
So two Canadians.
It's Australian, two Canadians.
Oh, yeah, finally, we've reduced the amount of people with dirty accents.
you know what's crazy? Americans. This is the first week we've had an American on.
Really? Oh, yeah, it is.
What? Yeah, it is. It was two
How
UKs, Canadians, me, obviously, Tarkin, who can't make this week.
Yeah, but you guys have very mild accents, if anything. Very unnoticeable.
Yes, we don't have the good eye, mate.
It's probably also good because don't you typically record what would be like American time Saturday morning?
Yes. Oh, no. Well, my time, it's 12 in the afternoon-ish on Saturday. So you guys would be, what, 10 p.m., 11 p.m. over there?
Yeah, right now, yeah. I mean, like your 10, normal 20, your other recording 7. Times, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Last time was 1 a.m. my time. So it would be, 10 a.m.-ish.
Yeah, you're not going to get an American Saturday. Up at 10 a.m. on a Saturday.
No. Not. And I tried, so I know.
I got to go into work tomorrow at 9 a.m. That's fun.
Oh, final exam at 8 a.m.
On Saturday?
I have to go to school on a Saturday. Crap.
Yeah. Wait, okay, we're at 10 minutes now almost, and we haven't talked about Guild Wars.
Yeah,
why
don't you stop being a shitty host and bring us back on track, asshole?
Alright, so the first topic today is structured PvP. I did a couple hours of it myself, but I'll let, I think it was Rawson, introduce the topic. How does it work?
You mean just like start from the top and explain how it works?
Yeah, just give us a short synopsis.
Okay, well, it's... two teams against each other, usually in an objective-based play. You probably know this idea before if you've ever played, like, WoW Battleground. You hold down points, and you get... and it adds to your score. And right. As far as what it does differently than WoW or any other sort of Battleground scenario is, of course, the moment you get in, everything is unlocked for your character. You're instantly put up to level 80... All your skills and traits are open up and available for you. So you're all playing on the same level. You all have the best gear. It's as even as possible. And essentially what ArenaNet looks like they're trying to do is they're trying to go for more of an esports crowd with that specific game mode in mind. Because that way, of course, you don't have to grind.
There's one major thing that's missing with it, though. And that was that when you... It bumps you up to level 80, gives you high-end gear, that's great and everything, except that it locks you into two specific kinds of weapons, and you have no way to change
that.
I
thought you could buy
else.
Certain ones.
How do you get the other weapons, then?
Was there not a dealer?
There's an active weapon vendor.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a weapon vendor right there in the PvP zone. You just go talk to him, and you can buy any of the weapons there.
How much? I didn't actually talk to him, because he gave me a rifle to begin with, and I kind of stuck with that. But
I didn't even know that was there.
How much does he charge for shit?
I think it was free it was during really the beta. Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it costs. That's awesome. So essentially, because what it does is it starts you off, you can do it at any level. You can start the game and just hit your character sheet, go into PvP, one of the tabs, and jump into the mists. So yeah, as you said, it bumps you up to level 80. But then what it does is also, before you actually get into the PvP zone, it has a little training area, which does things like, res a couple dudes, figure out how to do that. What else was there?
How to kill a dude, point, wasn't it? Yeah.
How to cap a point. Yeah, and how to kill a dude.
I skipped that, actually.
Yeah, I just ran right through it, too.
I'm like, you know what? I've PvP'd in MMOs before. I think I know how to stand on a point to capture it.
I think it's actually pretty cool that you're able to skip it. I didn't know you
could
skip it.
Have you played the original Guild Wars, Rawson? Have you played the original Guild Wars?
Yes, I did.
So is it a lot like if you played Alliance Battles or something like that? Jade Quarry, where you're holding those points?
It's almost identical.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the continuation of that system.
Really? I don't know.
Because I would just say it's like a lot like AB.
It's version of AB.
Alliance Battles.
It sounds exactly like Alliance Battle.
I guess it's kind of like it's Alliance Battles in that it's capping points. That's the only real equivalency I can see.
Well, that's where capping points originated
from. It's the closest thing I can say.
That's where capping points originated from, huh?
No game had point caps until factions came out.
Right.
Fuck you, noob. All right, so that was a pretty decent synopsis. And so yeah, you jump in, you can go in at any level. You're given a quick tutorial about how to do shit. Then you're set free into the world, and they give you two weapons to start off with. So they upgrade your gear to max level gear, and they automatically put insignias and stuff in it or whatever they're called, so that you're pretty much decked out into a specific build which is based on your class. And then you can go into the PvP area, and all the skills are unlocked, so you can change your build on the spot. All the traits are unlocked, so you can redo your traits and pick what you want. And there's also, as you said, the vendors, which you can get new max level gear from. Yeah. Which is great, and you can do that at the very beginning of the game. Did they say that it would be that way in the final game?
I would imagine it's similar, because Guild Wars 1 was the same type of system, where you could have those vendors and you could trade and buy with them.
Yeah, but you had to unlock... Well, did they have vendors? I remember having to recreate a PvP character.
Yeah, when you made a PvP character, there was just a menu where you could go in and make all your gear.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm thinking the insignias. There was a vendor there where you could buy those.
Yeah. And you could unlock them via faction. They don't really have a faction system in this game, I don't think.
No, they said they might implement that at some point.
But it's more guild-related, isn't it? That's guild influence.
Yeah. No, there is personal stuff. Glory, is it called? There's some system.
Glory, I think so.
Glory is the PvP currency.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's basically their equivalent to like WoW Valor.
Yeah.
Or not Valor.
So like Balthazar Faction.
Probably you spend it on. Yeah, you use it like Balthazar Faction, so you unlock stuff with it. That might be how it works. Well, it could be how it works, assuming that they don't continue to give you max level gear as soon as you start the game. But I don't know. They could do that. It's a pretty cool system.
Yeah.
I like it.
What I want to know is, when you are max level, like, is it going to still do that, or is it just going to let you go in with what you already have?
It'll probably give you everything. I don't see why it wouldn't.
Yeah.
It bumps you up to the highest possible level of gear. So even if you don't have the best possible level of gear... When you hit level 80, you'll at least be bumped up to that.
But same if you thing, do have course, the gear, I imagine you can use it.
Just keep it. Yeah. I think it preserves the cosmetics of whatever you have. That's at least half the case, and that's half the problem.
I didn't have that happen when I jumped in.
No, it does that in World Rewarded. It does, but in the standard PvP, it doesn't. It replaces it.
Yeah.
For me, you jump in. I pretty much created my character, so he's kitted out in chainmail. I still have that chainmail in structured PvP.
Well, they might just give everyone the starter armor then.
Oh, yeah, maybe. It could be that.
My elementalist had big, giant red robes.
Yeah, and my necromancer had different armor in PvP.
Oh, weird. Or maybe it's just not finished. Shit's just not finished. Anyway, so. How much did you actually get in terms of playtime? I got about 2 hours into it. I'm going to go around the table. Robbie Mac, did you get much into the structured PvP?
Not as much until I realized how badly I need to upgrade my computer. Because, good lord, I was lagging so bad when I was playing structured PvP. So I think I was playing with two people from the guild. I can't remember who. It might have been Sub and Maystack. I can't remember.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, we were playing, trying to get together and play a game, and then it was just lagging uncontrollably for me, so I had to cut it short. But I did get one round in.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
And next up, Rawson, how much did you actually end up playing?
As far as the structured PvP goes, I played a number of matches. I'd say something like about five-ish, like of five overall ones.
Cool. I'm actually seeing a pattern here. I'm just to sort of cut you off, but quickly, Durin, how many hours did you get into structured?
No, I wouldn't even put it in hours. I think I played about two matches.
And a noob.
Let me say it.
To ask you this question.
Well, I didn't know how to get to the PvP area, so I just didn't play PvP.
Fuck you. God damn it. I don't even know why I have you on this fucking podcast.
Because I provide valuable questions. Like
how do you get to PvP?
How do you get to PvP? Let's go with that. How do we get to PvP? I know it's somewhere in Lion's Arch. Where?
Yep, great.
Where?
Yeah, I feel like that wasn't really explained very well in the game.
That's a good point.
You don't answer. There's a menu option to just go straight into the mist. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like none of that stuff was explained.
No, exactly. No. Like, and it's not. I don't think it's like a tried and true practice. I don't think other MMOs do that. You can't just go do your character sheet and jump into PvP in other MMOs, can you?
No.
Well, and especially with the way that game does it, because you go into the mists, and then from there you kind of move on to whatever type of PvP you're going to do.
Exactly. Or you can just jump. You can hit a quick match. I think it was that an option
similar to that.
And you pretty much just jump straight into it. Which is kind of cool, but I think a interesting point here is the amount of time all of us spent in PvP, in structured PvP. Maybe I'm making something out of nothing, but it sounds like a lot of us kind of did a couple matches and then put it aside. Would you say that's accurate?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I think it would be a lot more fun if I had the ability to at least play with people I know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
With friends. Because the people I was with were kind of fucking worthless.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Noobs only are.
Like, a guy is literally a guy on my team at one point was literally watching me fight a guardian. And he's not fucking helping. And then people get all pissed off when I start cursing at him in the chat. Telling him fucking worthless and telling him to just quit the game and hang himself.
Wow.
That's a bit much.
It's a bit much.
At least you're getting a response from the people.
Dude, you're watching me fight this guy. Hell.
Oh, man. Yeah, so at least in my personal experience, I think I only got about three or four matches in. I didn't actually see anything but the catapult map.
I saw the other one.
But yes, it was...
Yeah, I saw the other one.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I saw two of them.
Cool.
Yeah, I think the other one. Yeah, there's only two, or is there three?
There's three.
I think.
I thought there was only two.
Because there's the one with underwater elements.
Oh, maybe there
must be three then, because that one I didn't see.
Yeah,
underwater.
I'm pretty sure. Then there's the one with the group of like a mob in the middle that you can kill for points. I'm just going by what I've read. Uh-huh. And then there was the one with the catapult, which is the one I played.
The one that I played was more of a like a ruined type of, I want to say,
yeah,
city.
I played that one too.
And it had like a tall bunch of stairs going up to the middle cap point.
Yeah, I like that one better because that reminded me a lot of like Guild Wars 1, like RA map.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminded me of
that. It was cool
because
it had a lot of turns and stuff in it.
Yeah, I felt like that was good, like less linear.
A lot of different corners to hide around and
one with like
To provide some direction to this podcast before just jumping in random directions, we'll start off by going okay around the table and jump in whenever you want to. How do you guys feel about the fluidity of the experience? How do you guys like the capture point system? Rawson, you can start probably.
I thought it was a capture point system.
Hell yeah!
That's
pretty good, right?
That's basically it. I mean, you've played a game where you capture points. You've you're familiar with the concept.
Well, you would assume, but I mean, most of these people didn't seem to
wander around.
It was just chaos. Yeah, that's all it was.
Okay, so, well, one thing that did interest me in a few of the matches I saw, it looked like there were NPCs you could fight as well for additional points. I think it was.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was sort of an interesting way to kind of.
Yeah. So their idea of it was to put something interesting or something different in all of the PvP maps. But we'll get to maps in a second. And so, wait, so Rawson, you've played a bit of WoW. I actually have only played 10 hours of WoW.
10 miles of WoW.
10 miles. So how do you think it compares to the WoW's PvP system?
It's in terms of scale, it's closer to the arenas, but in terms of actually what you do, I think it was more similar to the battlegrounds. It's just that the battlegrounds in World of Warcraft were always more of a big giant Zerg, because everyone's either doing that, waiting for like a raid to start in World of Warcraft, or if you're like me, you were doing battlegrounds so you could grind to get the gear you need in order to do arenas.
Oh, okay, right.
Well, that's kind of changed now with the raided battlegrounds, though. So, I mean,
yeah,
the way the battleground system works now, people take it a bit more seriously.
Eh. Cool, I guess. I don't want to turn this into a WoW podcast, but it's interesting to see the differences there, and I think a lot of people are coming from a WoW background, so it's cool to get some perspective on that. But so Durin, what do you think of the fluidity of the experience in WoW?
I thought it was it's too hard to tell. I think right now a lot of people I think don't understand how it works or how it's supposed to work. You tend to just end up getting a lot of people just. Basically just player killing over and over and over again. I mean, that's all you really end up seeing there. There's nobody trying to catch
points.
They just
run around killing people. Exactly. And it's as they said before, it was a capture point system, and you expect freaking people to start, you know, getting with it, getting into the game. But no, people just, like, ran around following me around while I captured their points and shit. It was terrible.
Yeah.
A lot about the game seems really, really hard for some people to, like, wrap their heads around. Personally, like, I was trying to show off the PvP to a friend of mine who's into PvP stuff, and he asked me, what's the point of it? Like, what's the point of the PvP? And it's... I just kind of had to pause, because I'm like, well, the point is to have fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, other games have worked so hard to try to give a purpose to it. Well, other games have worked so hard to give, like, purpose.
Another fucking carrot on a stick.
Exactly, yeah, and that's exactly what people want and expect at this point.
I don't, though. I mean, maybe I'm just weird, but for me, like, the whole carrot on a stick, you know, constantly having to chase some new milestone, chase some new unlock, for me personally, it's basically it ruined first-person shooters in my mind.
I was going to say, I don't know if you've heard about this game called Call of Duty, but it's kind of... it's changed the way people play games anymore. Like, between that and the Xbox 360 achievement stuff, all of that has just changed it. Like, there has to be that carrot on the stick now, otherwise people don't see it as worth it anymore.
Well, there were achievements available.
Hall of Monuments.
People don't play games to play games.
They should add, like, reward bonuses for Guild Wars 3. Like, play X amount of PvP, and you'll get this if Guild Wars 3 comes out. And I bet you I will be playing that PvP just for that.
So, back to the topic at hand. Shinboy, I think we've been talking over you. What do you think of PvP in Guild Wars 2?
I think the main problem was not that people didn't understand, like, the game type. Is that I don't think anyone knew how the hell to play whatever class they were playing. People were bad.
That's also a thing.
Yeah, that's definitely a big issue too, definitely. Yeah.
The fact that you could jump into it at level, 0-1, means that a lot of people just got in because they were interested in the PvP, then just, like, wandered around hitting buttons, not really knowing what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, they're like, this necromancer looks cool. Let's go PvP with him right away. That's a bad idea.
Yeah. Because even in a normal PvP match, you get at least a couple of dudes who knew what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how a lot of people... Okay, so none of us obviously have played the Guild Wars 2 PvP before. And for the next, like, semi-part of the topic, how do you guys think the learning curve was? I know what... I'm just distracted here for a second. Someone's opening the door. I know what Rawson's opinion that is, the same with Durin. Shinboy and Robbie Mack, what do you guys think of the getting into PvP in Guild Wars 2?
don't know. I think it's kind of tough at first because, especially if you start off at like, you know, with a low level character, you're just thrown in and you have all these skills and you have no idea how any of them work, how any of them work in tandem with other classes or with, you know, skills from your own class. So it's pretty overwhelming. Right. If you haven't played that class before.
Yeah, I'd say there's a huge learning curve to it because, as you mentioned, there's just so many skills and so many combinations you can have with all the weapons. Maybe that was a good idea that they only provided two weapons to the person because there's so many different combinations that you could mix together. And if the person is just getting this immediately leveled up character, they're available, like, all these other skills are available to them. They have no idea what they do, and they're just kind of throwing them onto the bar, picking out of that big, huge list those five other, I guess, utility skills. I don't remember what they're
pretty
called.
Much, yeah.
And you're pretty much just throwing them up there and just guessing what they do.
So do you guys think? Like, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I feel like 6 months after release, maybe we'll, you know, it'll be a different story, and the structured PvP will be a lot of fun, but it's going to take a while, I think, for people to get familiar with the classes, familiar with the skills, familiar with just even how the game plays. It's so different than any other MMO, really. So, I mean, even just the synergy stuff that you can do with other people's abilities and kind of learning all of that stuff. When people figure all of that out, the structured PvP, I think, is going to be really good.
Yeah.
But until then, it's going to be a shit fest.
Yeah, for sure.
Question!
Go ahead.
How is it in comparison to the original PvP from Guild Wars?
Ooh, that's a good question, actually.
I don't know. I would say the movement, like, that was the biggest thing I had to get used to was, I think movement and dodging plays such a huge role in structured PvP because you can completely dodge a guy's skill and just do work on him. Like, I think it was a thief when I was playing. I had mentioned this on, I posted about this, and I just single-handedly wrecked a thief with a necromancer, which would be unheard of in Guild Wars 1.
Yeah, you couldn't. It's great. Like, just as a basic, and just move going off movement, because there's a bunch of stuff we could talk about, but definitely dodging. Like, for example, in the middle, in the first skill was if you were stuck on a staircase with a bunch of dudes around you and someone, for example, casts a meteor shower, you would be screwed.
Yeah.
You would be knocked down, KD'd, pretty much everyone would be disorientated. There's no real out. For Guild Wars, the whole dodge mechanic thing, Guild Wars 2, like, you saw me when we were playing freaking Guild Wars 1 yesterday, I was hit double-tapping directions to try and dodge.
Yeah,
I was playing the other day, and I was doing that too.
Right.
Exactly. Such a fun... It works. How do you guys think of the responsiveness of the control? Like, we touched this in a previous podcast, but how do you guys feel it controlled in a PvP environment?
I thought it was tough.
Probably go with cool. Tough? In what way?
Again, I guess it's just me trying to get used to it because I've never really experienced a system because I haven't really played too many massively multiplayer online games. Mostly I've just played Guild Wars, so I'm not used to this mechanic of moving while attacking or casting in that sense. So it's kind
That's not really in other MMOs.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not in most MMOs.
Oh, okay. No, actually, like, having played pretty much every major MMO that's been released over the last few years, I would say it's been probably even harder for someone like me because we have it kind of ingrained in our minds that, you know, especially as a caster, like I was playing a necromancer, like we have it ingrained in our minds, like you stand still, you cast your spell, and then you can run out of the way. So I kept having to remind myself that, you know, when they're doing their attacks, like I need to get the fuck out of the way now.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I didn't realize.
Like, I can still keep casting.
I can't believe you didn't touch on this. I can't believe you didn't remember this. So the whole casting while moving thing. So Guild Wars 2, just to elaborate for the audience, if they don't know already, in Guild Wars 2, you actually aren't, for a majority of skills, some skills do root you, but for the majority of skills, you can move while casting. For all the classes, not class specific. For example, for an elementalist, you can be casting Meteor Shower on the run, and it changes everything. It changes how you have to think about PvP and how you think about movement. Durin, as you said, a lot of people have to relearn pretty much from scratch because I was just dancing around fools with my warrior because they'd stop pressing forward because it's WASD to move. They'd stop pressing forward to cast. It's ingrained now for a lot of people.
Yeah. And it's funny because like after the beta event ended, like I've played other MMOs. I've played some WoW. I've played some Terra. I even played a little bit of Star Wars. And like I kept wanting to do that there.
Yeah.
Like I kept constantly canceling my casts because I would go to run out of the way.
We're playing
like, God damn it, Noah, like, this isn't a good game.
I was casting Aegis. Oh my god, I can't remember how I used that word. That name came back to me in a flood yesterday. Aegis, that skill, I loved it. So I was casting Aegis, and it was a 2 second cast time, and I just keep canceling it by tapping forward or trying to dodge in the middle of a cast. But yeah, it's just, it changes the way. I can't go back now. I can barely go back to another.
You've been spoiled.
Game where you can't move and cast. Definitely spoils. Mm. But yeah, Rawson, you've played a bunch of other MMOs. What do you think about moving while casting?
To be honest with you, I don't think I realized that you could actually do that.
Fantastic.
You're completely right. It's totally ingrained in it. Now, I would run backwards while using the autocast thing, but as far as any of my other skills, I think I would habitually stop.
Yeah. And I saw a lot of people doing that. I think last week I went on about melee versus range imbalance. And my biggest point was, as a rifle warrior, if I kept moving, if I kept dodging, if I kept running whilst doing my spikes and my cripples and so on and so forth, I was just untouchable. People didn't realize. I guess half of it is because people just didn't realize if you're a necromancer and you're getting hit up by a ranger or ranged warrior, you can just run.
Yeah.
You can cast your shit and run the opposite direction.
Yeah. We have so many utilities as a necromancer to do that too.
Also, yeah,
a lot of people don't realize it.
Side note on necromancer, the elite minion, overpowered by far.
Oh, really?
So overpowered, it's ridiculous. Because you know how for each minion you can have an attack, right? Like you can have them blow up or whatever. But for that one, it has like this charge move that stuns them. And every time I would hit it, it would do over 2,000 damage. And this like reloads in like a 30-second time period. So I just spam it and just destroy people.
Dude, stuns are crazy. I think I wrote this up in one of my I think Justin Camper or something. He made a post asking people to pass on their knowledge. And one of the biggest thing I said was you have to bring condition removal. You have to be at least self sufficient on that point.
And we can because talk about even how monks have completely changed the PvP experience in a minute.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like going from noobs point, exactly right. It's like they said it would be. You can play with any combination of classes now.
Mm-hmm.
You can play with anyone. It's just if you have a friend who's online, it doesn't matter what he is, guardian, whatever. I do think too many guardians on the team can make it a bit low damage output. But otherwise, yeah, you can just play and everyone just has fun and just everyone just works. As long as everyone knows how to use their classes, then shit just kind of rolls. So.
And you did see they did address the melee versus range thing, and they plan to do some kind of buffing to melee to hopefully make that better.
But like, what would they do? It's like, I mean, just damage. If you're still dying all the time, more damage doesn't make that big of a difference. Mm.
I wonder if maybe they might give them more utilities to close the gap as well.
Yeah.
That's really what they need. Like giving that mobility to the casters, they're going to need to give even more mobility than to the melee to compensate for that.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. They didn't realize that if before a melee's job was to pester casters. That's what he was for.
Yeah, just to stop casting as much as he can.
Yeah, and so now the casters can continually cast on the move because there are very few skills which root you. Melee is having a really tough time, but they did address what they plan to do. So a couple of things are they're planning to increase the dead space available to you. So when you're swinging with a dagger, for example, currently it's the length of your dagger as you reach and maybe a little bit further. They're just increasing that slightly to maybe like balancing out a bit to give you a little bit more leeway as to how far away you can be from them. They're also, changing up some of the skills and utility skills for all of the melee major classes to give them more closing gaps and more cripples and stuff like that to get them running. But I think we strayed from the point there. Let's just skip over to the next one. the bigger question was, noob raised, was how do we think it changed from the first Guild Wars? And I think everything's changed. Nothing's the same. It is not like the first Guild Wars at all.
No.
But to me, it is. If I was asked about structured PvP, we'll do a little round table with everyone saying what they think in a bit. Let's move on to map design. How do you guys feel the structured PvP map design it was, starting with Shinboy?
The main map that everyone played, like the Battle of What's-Its-Face with like the catapults.
The trebuchet.
Yeah, the trebuchet and catapults and, like, the building in the middle. I wasn't the biggest fan of that map. I liked the other one better, the one that was in, like, the ruins. I don't know, I felt like you had more, you can go more places and you had places to hide. And it felt more like a Guild Wars PvP map, like how it should feel. Just, you know, from having experience in the first game. And if there was a third map, I didn't play it, so I have no opinions on that.
No, the major thing, I think you hit it on the head there. The cool thing about these maps, I'm not sure how it is in other MMOs, but the best maps in Guild Wars are always, like, labyrinthine. Like, they're really, they're not a standard, like, FPS, for example, map. Even though the gameplay is at fast pace, I would say, almost, not quite an FPS level, but definitely faster paced than most MMOs. The fact that it's just not open wide spaces, even like the shit, like the, in my opinion, the worst of the three maps, which is the trebuchet map, you did have stairways intermingling. You can move to places you wouldn't expect, like the top of the middle tower. Yeah. You can move up there and fire down. You can jump off stuff, which is definitely a huge difference in getting around. But the main thing was, the maps were pretty large. I'd say they're around 5 minutes or so walk from one side of... No, maybe close to two minutes. 2 minutes walk from one side to the other. How do you guys feel about the size of the maps?
Having come from mostly WoW, like they felt small, but not in a bad way. Like, the biggest problem, like you were talking about, like good Guild War maps were always very labyrinthine. Like, WoW maps are kind of the opposite. Like, they're very much just big, open, huge, you know, just sprawling kind of maps, and generally that kind of tends to cater more towards, you know, the Zerging playstyle.
Yeah.
So it was definitely nice to have one where you could kind of hide around corners and, you know, dodge around stuff and jump off of staircases and things like that.
Yeah. How about Rawson? What did you think of it?
They seemed large, but not necessarily open, if that makes any sense at all.
So it would be large, but you'd have like things closed, all around the place. Yeah. Like you'd have like
and it works really well with the combat style too.
Yeah,
yeah. Because, well, what I would liken it to is just basically if you abstracted it and zoomed out a lot, it would just be essentially a series of different corridors launching that cross over at certain points.
Yeah, if you had to break it down to an overall like overview map with just like where you could walk, it would be a bunch of crisscrossing corridors.
Yeah,
spread over, because even like if it's a big open space like a courtyard just in front of the clock tower, there'd still be like a cart there, stuff to like break line of sight.
Yeah, exactly. Like line of sight is a huge deal in this PvP because of the fact that that's really the only way to stop a cast.
Yes, now. And dodging. That's pretty much it. So that's what you got.
Yeah.
It felt kind of like
a problem I had.
It felt kind of dodging within the
TF2 maps. I don't know.
TF2 maps. That's an interesting comparison.
Yeah, because like, what the hell? Can't think of it. One of the ones where you gotta like, I don't know. I haven't played TF2 in forever, so the names escape me. But one of the payload maps where the attacking team starts off in like a canyon.
Okay.
I can't remember the one you're thinking, but I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, and then you like go like around like a bend to the right, like underneath the bridge or whatever. It felt sort of like that, where like it was a large map, but there was a lot of different paths you could take to get to the same place.
Exactly right.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially because like the first game was didn't have jumping, for example, and it's as if ArenaNet said, okay, we're going to bring jumping in, but we're also going to capitalize it and make it really important. So there's a lot of times and places where you can get to higher ground and use that to get further in the map. Especially if you have like the sword, like dash forward move or any of those dash forward moves, you can get really huge range on it and pretty much clear a good chunk of the map just by jumping from the right places, stuff like that. It's really interesting. I really love the map design in this game, at least from what I saw, which wasn't admittedly not much.
Mm-hmm. They changed the range at all? Because I know in the first game, if you had like high ground with like bows and stuff, you would get more range out of it. Is that still in there?
Yeah. Yes, I believe so. But when talking about world versus world in a second, which is probably the more interesting to me of the two topics, I can get a little bit more into that. But yeah, just before we round out into world versus world, let's just go around the table. Nibirama, do you have any other questions?
About world versus world? Versus world?
No, about structured PvP.
About structured PvP. So,
PvP
VDW. I can't really tell whether you guys really like it. Is this like a big point in the game for you, or are you more interested in the PvE?
That's what we're getting into now. So going around the table, starting with, Robbie Mac. How would you say, did you like it? What would you rate it? Let's say out of 5, whole numbers.
I'd say for what I played, it was pretty enjoyable. But again, I would like to play with people I know, because the people I was playing with were useless to a sense. They just
fucking
kind of
noobs.
They hoarded together and just went to one point another while the other team. It was like a big, huge clock, like just going around in a circle, just people capping each point, like barely even any combat when I played. It was kind of ridiculous. So
yeah. Well, there's no tactics. Everyone was just kind of doing whatever the fuck.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Like, for me, it was that, and I would be by myself. I'd specifically not join the group, and I would just, like, cap whatever the Zerg wasn't at. It was hilarious.
So, besides that, it was... I enjoyed it, but, yeah, probably the biggest change is going to be the lack of Monk. So I feel like this is just going to make it better, in a sense, because I know when you had... If you didn't have a Monk in PvP
Random
in Guild Wars 1, you would lose if the other team had one. There was no chance whatsoever.
It's like you join a random arena game, one team doesn't have a monk, they immediately resign
before the game even happens.
Yeah, they just resign. Just what the hell?
So, yeah, it was...
maybe. My favorite times in RA was when it was, I think it was three warriors and an elementalist, and we got to 20 consecutive, and that was like the best experience, because you come against groups which had a monk, but it's just because of their raw damage output.
Yeah,
anyway, Guild Wars 1 stories for later.
Yeah, true. Okay. Yeah, otherwise, and overall, I would give it, I would say like a 4, but since I didn't really get to experience as much, I feel like I would enjoy it more if I was playing with you guys or something like that.
So you gave it a 5.
Did I give it a 5? Okay, yeah, whatever.
You gave it a 4. You gave it a 4, I think. Rosen, what would you rate? And what is
I think it'd be interesting to see how it plays out, especially from an esports perspective. Mostly because I think if any game in this genre at this point has any chance of God, losing my voice.
More cough drops.
I need to take more cough drops. Clearly, if any MMO has any chance of starting to actually capture that esports group, it would probably be this.
You really think so? I don't know.
I think that if they did, they would have a lot of balancing to get into to do that, though.
Yeah, you'd run into balance issues, but once again, like, my point is, if it's not this game and this mode to attract that crowd, what else is in this genre?
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, if nothing else, you know, there is just basically that one mode, so it could very well turn into kind of a, you know, Dota-style MMO PvP.
Yeah, that's sort of what I would kind of see it as, is kind of crossing over a little bit into the whole MOBA scene. Overall, I really enjoyed it, and like as was said, I like to play it with people I know, an organized group, so I'd probably give it a 4 out of 5, but I'm really difficult to please.
No, that's actually, I didn't know it was going to average this high. My opinions are slightly different, but I'm going to move on to Robbie Mac. What do you think?
I already gave my opinion.
Oh, no, I did, didn't? Oh, I'm terrible at this. Why am I hosting?
Durin, God damn it, man. Durin. Get a hold of yourself.
Durin.
I would say, given how... I think for new players, it's going to be really challenging to get into, and it doesn't do a very good job of explaining itself.
Yes,
it is a beta.
I would say,
God,
I'm thinking even, you know, assuming it's this way at release in terms of how they introduce the PvP or the lack of an introduction, I would probably give it closer to. I guess I would be generous and say 3 out of 5.
Oh,
hey, cool. Cool.
But I would say that 6 months or so after release, I would say probably closer to a 4.
Nice.
Once people kind of get a grasp of how classes play, how the game is played, and
so what would it need for you to get that 5?
To get that 5? I don't know. Like, I guess with my PvP in terms of structured PvP, I don't know that it ever would, because I need variety in PvP. I can't play Dota. I can't play League of Legends. I can't play on that same map over and over and over and over and over again.
Right.
That's why
in this case, the same game type. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, it's different maps, but it's the exact same thing. So, and we'll get into more of this in World v. World, but I need more variety in my PvP than that.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it will get to 5 out of 5 for me unless they were to add more game modes.
So, for my opinion, I would, exactly what Durin said. I'm going to give it a 3 as well. I think. For me, I it's really boring, but my response when asked about what I think about the modes in Guild Wars 2 in terms of structured PvP, my immediate response is, I can't wait for TDM. I want TDM, I want Capture the Flag, I want game types, because I think in this case, it's actually an active enough experience, a fast-moving enough piece of PvP, they can have a lot of those first-person shooter game types coming over. It could be really interesting to play them. Whoa. But for me, capping points is boring. I don't know.
They had that type of thing in Guild Wars 1. I don't know if you remember. I can't remember that one map. But it had like a flag and you capped the little turret and it would shoot.
A lightning tower. Yeah.
You'd like shoot them or whatever. And then same with, was it Heroes Ascent? I remember when I was watching it. Like, I never made it to the final part. But when I watched it, there would be like, at one center tower that everyone tried to control. I felt it was more interesting in that later sense type thing.
Exactly. They had King of the Hill, essentially. Yeah, Capture the Flag.
Is where it's at.
It definitely feels like in Guild Wars 2, they spent most of their PvP resources in the Worldview World stuff, not in the Structured.
I would agree. So it
makes me wonder, are they going to implement these type of things later opposed to right at release?
Yeah.
Well, the big question is, it's Guild Wars, but where is the Guild Wars? There's no GVG.
True.
Like, that's the biggest thing for me. Like, what the hell are you doing? What are you thinking of?
Well, it is a beta. Especially since it is a beta, and I think you need to understand it is a beta. Sir.
There are a lot of like guild rewards that are associated to like Worldview World stuff.
Yeah, but isn't the same. It
is. Yeah, but I'm wondering, is that what they're intending to be the guild versus
maybe
kind of thing?
Because they are planning for the structured stuff to be a 5v5 experience. They don't want to go back to the days of 8v8 or larger medium-sized teams going off against one another. But the beauty of GVG was the fact that it was really, not only was the gameplay, because it was so directed and so group-based, like you're playing with your guild, not only was organization through the roof, but also the maps that guilds chose were also very varied, like ice maps, for example, where half the time you'd be slowed on the ice. Yeah. It was amazing. Like, just the stuff in terms of variety that brought to it. Even if they kept it to 5v5, I would love to see stuff like GVG come back. But anyway, aside from that, I would give it a 3. I was relatively happy with it. Did I go through everyone? Shinboy, what are your thoughts?
I'd probably give it a 3, too, which is... Well, 3 in its current state. It's not really the game's fault. Like, all the mechanics are there. It's more the community, because no one knows how to play.
Right.
Well, I think part of that is the game's fault as well, though. Like, they don't do a very good job of showing you how to play.
Yeah, how many times do I need to say this? I feel like I need to say this multiple times. It's a beta.
I think the biggest thing is, like, being able to go in at level 1 is a big flaw. I think they should definitely gate that at least at level
10.
10, yeah. Ooh. Like, give you some time with your character, and then be allowed to get into PvP.
But at least you play for the sake of PvP. You don't want to be, like, grinding to level 10 so you can play PvP on a character.
Well, the reason I say level 10
take a couple hours. I mean,
yeah, it'll take a couple hours, but more importantly, at level 10, you've... Because a lot of people don't even realize you can weapon switch. And you don't get that till level 7, I think it was.
Exactly.
You don't get traits till level
10. What if you're
10?
Making multiple characters... like, to play different characters in PvP?
Oh, no, it'd be account unlocked. It'd be account unlocked.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I would be more okay with that than the way they do it currently. But I'd rather they be character unlocked, because different classes play very differently.
Play differently? Yeah, I guess.
So I would prefer it to be character unlocked, but if they at least did account unlocked at level 10, then that gives you at least an idea of the mechanics of the game itself before you hop into PvP.
I don't know about character unlocked, because, like, say you don't want to buy extra character slots and you have, like, a dedicated PvP slot, just reroll. Yeah. I mean, are you just going to you're not going to get that character up to level 10 every time you want to reroll.
Because you can't make a PvP character anymore. It's just you use your PvE characters and port them over. I actually didn't know that was what they were doing. I thought they still had the whole PvP character thing, but apparently they don't. So... Nope. Hmm. Anyway, Noobarama, what were your thoughts?
Well, to be honest, I thought it wasn't that great, so I'm going to give it a 4.99 out of 5.
Okay, cool. Moving on.
Like, without me here, these scores are dropping onto the floor. I think we need a fanboy here to balance the shit out.
I just think it's pretty
great. I
really
like the system, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say it was a very good system.
I feel like
system.
I need to mention this over and over again. It's a beta. And,
but that's not going to be fixed. Like, they've said they're not going to bring GVG into the final game until after release. Yeah. And this is the only mode they're going to have until release, and this is what we're playing with.
Hang on, I think the 5v5 organized mode is essentially the GVG. It's just, it has a smaller team size.
Right.
But, yeah, I guess, sure, but you don't have the whole thing like home maps, you don't have that kind of stuff.
Yeah, really it's not specifically, you don't have to be in the same guild, but it essentially fills the same role, I think.
I guess, like, but then...
But it takes away what would be unique about guild versus guild, though.
It's not, yeah, but for me it would be... This is team arenas.
Exactly. This is what even maybe
which
random
they took
arenas,
out in Guild Wars.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it. Like I'm sure if they wanted to, I buy the argument that they want this to some extent give you that experience. But to be honest, I didn't feel like I was playing GVG when playing it. Maybe if I was playing with a whole guild and versing another team with a whole guild, and there's something.
Yeah, let's try that again, like when we have the ability to play with a bunch of guild members.
Yeah.
But then who's to say you're playing against another guild? Like if you're playing against
exactly.
a bunch of randoms,
there's no real matchmaking
system.
Then it's
just going to be a stomp.
Yeah, there's not
going to be a real matchmaking system. I mean, like,
I don't know. I haven't seen one way or the other.
Well, I'm sure the ranked version would be different. I feel like ranked.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's right. I forgot there was a ranked version.
Yeah, there was a ranked version. Okay, all right. Then, yeah,
that's right. That. Okay. A new Borama, not having played
Scratch
the PvP,
the last, like,
bringing
minutes.
It into perspective. That's
so,
what I'm
yeah,
here for.
I am going to get more cough drops.
So while he does that, Durin, would you introduce us to World vs. World?
Versus World.
Oh,
don't ignore
saw
me.
That coming.
God damn it. So yeah, give us a quick rundown of what it is and how it works.
I've tried to describe this a couple of times, and I guess like the easiest way for me to describe it, because I've played so much WoW, is kind of I've described it as like think Alterac Valley on a gigantic, massive scale that never ends.
What does that mean?
Where instead of faction versus faction, it is server versus server versus server. So it's basically, you know, it's keep based PvP. There are multiple keeps as well as supply depots. Towers and things like that you want to try to hold and disrupt of your opponents, and it's, I mean, as opposed to the structured PvP, this is very much an unstructured. I mean, there is a goal, but that goal is about 2 weeks out from the time this thing starts, and that is just basically to hold as much of this stuff as you can.
Yeah, that's pretty much you did it dead on. I think. Do you have anything to add?
Not really, but basically. One of the biggest things about it that I think a lot of people didn't realize or didn't know about or just plain, you know, ignored was the whole idea of supply in there. That's a huge factor in there that most people just didn't
supply?
Even understand.
Explain it.
I feel like it didn't really play much of a role in the first bit, because when you had to buy
it absolutely plays a huge role.
Blueprints to even use trebuchets and whatnot. And many
but it's not just for that. It's not even just for that, though. Like, if you're carrying the supply on you, if your keep is being attacked and you manage to hold the attack back, you need that supply to also do things like repair your walls and repair your doors and stuff. So,
all right,
like,
stepping
even beyond,
back a bit. Let's just step back and go, what is supply, Durin?
Supply, basically, there are supply depots kind of dotted around the maps that you can hold. And they'll have, like, supply there, but there's also a caravan that will move from there to, like, your nearest keeps and such. And drop supply off there as well, and that supply basically is just kind of it's kind of an endlessly reproducing
there's
resource.
Infinite amounts of it, yeah,
yeah, yeah. But how much your team gets really is dependent on how many of these resource things you hold. And another thing that a lot of people didn't seem to realize or to care about was the fact that you can manually go there and grab some and transfer it yourself as well. So you can even transfer a lot more than what your caravan is transferring.
So it's like holding a jade mine. In Jade Quarry, bringing it back into Guild Wars 1.
Yeah, damn it. Pretty much.
That went so yes. over my head. I don't.
And you can only hold. And you can only hold like 10 shoot. Supply at a time. So you don't. You're not able to hold a lot. Not that I saw, but then.
Sorry,
again,
is your character physically holding the supplies? You can't do anything. Or
No. It's just there. Like, there's a UI thing that says supply 10 or supply 0.
Okay.
And you just kind of carry that around with you while you're doing your thing. Like, you can definitely still attack and all of that. But you can use that then to, you know, build things like trebuchets and stuff, or to rebuild broken down doors once you've defended a keep.
Yeah. So when you're, say, for example, assaulting a keep, someone drops a because you need plans. Someone starts a trebuchet, they can't finish it because everyone only has 10 supply. So he drops down the plans. You see like construction, like works kind of happening, a little square of it. Then you walk over it and you hit E or F, and you deposit what supply you're carrying into that endeavor, and then slowly starts building as more people add supply. That's the kind of thing you're using supply for. It's actually a pretty cool. I'm pretty sure other games do this, but this is the first time I've been exposed to something like it. It's a pretty cool system, especially
it's a really cool system.
Yeah, people drop like two battering rams in front of a door, and suddenly everyone rushes in, puts in supply, and crazy shit. We'll get into that in a second. But okay.
Only thing I'm not really super thrilled about with the supply and the building of these structures and everything is that those blueprints cost your own money.
Yeah.
Yes.
And are they reusable? Are they one time?
I'm not sure.
If they're one-time use, that can get really costly because it starts at 2 silver and goes up to, 10 gold? Something like that.
It's fucking crazy. And I have no idea how people had trebuchet plans and stuff. I have no idea how they got their money.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you about that.
I had the money for it, but I wasn't going to... It would have been a large chunk of my money, so I wasn't willing to throw that down. I'll definitely do that this next time around just to see if that's something that persists or if it's a one-time use consumable.
No, it's a one-time use. I bought one.
Oh, really? It is.
I figured Feta might as well buy one.
See, I feel like what they need to do is they need to implement something similar to the supply depots in there, but that are some kind of mines or something that your team can get money from. That money can then be used to buy those blueprints and then use it the same.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But that way you're not using your own personal money. World versus world, because then you could just exploit that to the point.
No. It would be a different resource.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm using money basically, but it's a different resource.
Okay.
It would be some kind
of
resource that you would use then to exchange for the blueprints, and it's usable.
Or you can just use supply to get supply. I mean, so supply to get to get blueprints, and
yeah,
have that kind of thing in sync.
Yeah, your 10 supply could go towards buying it.
Even glory. You could use your glory as well, perhaps.
Yeah.
It is a resource.
There's a tap running in the next room. This is going to be terrible.
Could you earn money? Basically, play the game, play PvP, earn money, or do you also need to subsidize that? Okay, so you can just purely play PvP and do fine with gear.
You also could level up normally in World v World and even unlock skills like as you normally would in PvE.
Oh, wow.
Every single time you killed a neutral or a player, it is another notch towards unlocking your skill, and you get XP for it.
Wow.
It is, but one thing that Cynic and I noticed when we were doing the World v World is that you want to make sure that you are absolutely still going towards certain objectives while you're in there if you're trying to gain experience, because just straight-up killing guys gets you hardly anything.
Okay.
But just before we run straight into that, can Rawson, you mentioned how you can gain skills and stuff. How does getting to World versus World work in relation to your PvE characters, Rawson?
What do you mean? How does it...
How do you get into World versus World?
I clicked on Enter the Mists.
Yeah, you're... All right, so I didn't want to do this myself because there is a tap running in the background, and I think it'll come through on the stream. But anyway, so how it works is, unlike structured PvP, when you jump in with a character in World versus World, you actually come in with whatever you have. So essentially, like PvP, where you get scaled down if you enter a low-leveled area, in World versus World, when you enter, you actually get scaled up to level 80. But you're still stuck with whatever you've unlocked. So you're level 5 in brackets 80. So for me, I didn't have weapon switching. I didn't have skills for multiple sets of weapons. I only pretty much had my rifle skills and my sword skills unlocked. And for just from things like that, it's a very different experience because you can go into World versus World as a level 5 and stay there if you wanted to. You can go up to level 80 if you had the time to invest in just World versus World. And as Durin touched upon, we actually I came in at level 5, so I was expecting to start leveling up pretty quickly because obviously we're fighting level 80s, and I wondered how they'd scale the XP. But it ends up, just like PvE, if you end up just walking around killing dudes, you don't get shit.
I felt it was a really bad way to level up.
But
it's actually a really decent way to level up.
Really? Because I felt I wasn't getting much experience opposed to PvE, where
it's all about what you do. Like I was saying, if you're just going around killing guys, you're not going to get shit for experience. But if you're actually going and trying to capture creeps, or disrupt supply lines those, things like that. Yeah, you get huge, massive chunks of HP of experience that way.
It actually created events specifically for those as I would do it. It would be like, hey, you're attacking a keep. Here's an event to take over the keep. Or here's an event to kill all these bad guys in this area so that way these frog people will totally defend my fortress.
Yeah.
That's not a joke. Level I had frog ridiculous Ettins, wasn't it? Something huge?
There were some like giants or something along those lines as well.
Yeah, you could like help them out by killing stuff in their area, and I guess they'll help you out. I don't know. I never really got that far.
Because I remember,
and
the harpies. Yeah, you had to kill some harpies, and then these giant things would help you attack a keep.
Oh, fucking harpies.
That's cool.
Yep.
And the other crazy thing too is you know when we're talking about this map with these keeps and all these supply things and all that stuff is there are actually three other maps that exist as well. Like, I don't know how many of you guys messed with those maps.
Yeah,
it's a huge thing.
Three of them are identical. Go ahead.
Right,
Those three are identical, yeah.
But the point was, before you jump into that, I think we haven't done the full justice here. How much did everyone play of World vs. World? I played about 4 to 6 hours. During play was with me at the time. So, Shinboy, did you get any World vs. World in?
Maybe 2-3 hours worth. Not a whole lot, but some.
Right, Robbie Mac.
Like the first day, that's all I played, and that was pretty much all my Guild Wars 2 experience was World versus World because I didn't play much the two other days.
I'm glad I saved it to the end.
I played about a couple hours.
Yeah,
say.
Exactly. I just wanted to quickly point out here. I played Structured PvP for about an hour and a half. Jumped into the World of World, stayed there, just stayed. Loved it. But so to jump into the first thing, and we've already just explained how World versus World works, I think there's a couple of topics that we can touch upon. One would be how the objectives work, and the other one I definitely want to talk about is traveling World versus World. But first we'll talk about the objectives. So as Durin laid out for you, it's a keep-based system. So what there is a huge map, three maps, and you have keeps and supply points scattered throughout it. And to actually take one of these, it's actually a pretty significant undertaking. It'll take about 20 to 30 people, maybe an hour to even 2 hours, depending on how many people are involved in all three teams, to take a single keep or castle. Like it took us like maybe 40 minutes just to break down three sets of doors, and we didn't even take down the keep. I think Durin would be a good person to relate our little experience in World vs. World if you want to give us a shot.
Oh my god. Well, when we first got to that very first keep, we were still basically just trying to figure out what to do. And next thing you know, I think it was the green team was suddenly knocking on our back door. And so we run over there to go in and start to defend it and realize like those doors have a shitload of health. Like they will last. But at the same time, it was absolute chaos. We were all standing like when you say keep based PvP, I think a lot of people tend to associate that with Warhammer. It's all about, like, you know, fighting your way up the staircase, fighting your way through the corridors, having the black orc standing in the front, holding the line, like, those kinds of things. And that was not at all what this keep-based system is. This is way better than that. This is actual, like, keeps. Like, we were defending up at the top, like, shooting all of our shit down at the guys at the bottom that were banging at the door, setting up their trebuchets, and you know, people at the top defending by setting up the, I'm blanking on what they're called.
The oil pits?
The oil pits.
Fuck.
Yeah,
those are so
dropping
sweet.
Those on their trebuchets and just wiping them out. Like, and then like we're fighting this and we feel like we're losing.
Yeah,
but then out of nowhere we realize, oh shit, no, we're winning. Everybody pours off the top of the keep and starts shoving them back, and we end up actually fighting them all the way back to their keep and attempting to break into theirs.
Yeah. What happens is you walk into World versus World and you run over to whatever keep you control. We had the center keep and the main Battle Isles map or whatever it was. So we run in and there's a keep there. We walk in and suddenly there's a little marker, like an event quest, like straight up just an event marking that goes, hey, we're being attacked from this door. We head over.
Sorry.
And there's like, that's okay. there's like the door, and then just from standing there and the door's in front of you, like all you can see is like lighting effects happening behind this gigantic door, like just standing and looking up at it. It just looked like hell was on the other side of it. So it's a huge keep. So you
laser light show.
Yeah,
yeah, but you're watching the health bar of the door and it's not moving.
Yeah, it's not moving. And so there's stairs going up, and you go up the stairs. And this is a proper keep, so the stairs are, like, the actual walls are about 4 to 5 times the height of your character. And so you get up there, and it's like walking to Lord of the Rings. Like, there's a ton of dudes standing at the edge of the keep, like, firing down arrows and, like, raining, like, lightning storms and shit down. And at the bottom, there's, like, a sea of enemies, like, 30 to 40 dudes all, like, crashing against the walls. And how they'd be doing that is you can either sit there and, like, when we first started, and we'll get into this progression as we go along, but some people would be standing there, like, just shooting their guns at the door, when other people would be, and at the time, someone actually set up a trebuchet and started setting that up. So what happened was we realized we were winning when he was setting up the trebuchet, but he just got it finished, but suddenly everyone started pushing back because our defense was just too good. We were getting up oil pits. I think we got up maybe a cannon, and we were just like raining down arrows and death. So at that point, when people pushed back, everyone rushed down, and there was a gigantic fight around the base of this huge trebuchet, pushing forward and backwards for a good like 5 to 15 minutes. Everyone just like a huge mosh pit of people in the front of our keep. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely insane. Just tab targeting and just mashing as many buttons as you can. Just complete chaos.
Yeah.
I was mostly on the offensive the whole time while I was playing it. And I got to tell you, is there like a defensive thing that you can drop down that just basically shoots arrows? Like shit tons of arrows?
Arrow carts.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Those things seem quite effective.
Those and the oil pits as well. Those things will just wipe out your front line.
Melee guys attacking the door immediately. Yeah.
Well, and they're extremely helpful too, because one of the things that we learned when we started attacking one of the other keeps is that you have to have like battering rams or trebuchets or something to help take that door down.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it doesn't matter how many dudes you have smacking on that door. Exactly. Yeah, you're not going to do it.
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to go into my rigmarole now, because what we did is after that big keep exchange, and like we actually got into a couple of like mini fights of all three servers running into this middle keep trying to take it at the same time.
Stone Mist Castle, like the big huge one.
The big one in the middle. Yeah.
Well, no, Cynic, don't forget. Before that happened, when we pushed back to green, remember we pushed into their keep, and they started pushing us back, trying to flank us. And we make our grand escape by shutting the server down.
The server crashed.
Spawning back in
we were way overextended. Our guild, our group of our server had been like 30 to 40 dudes, and we all like funneled into their keep defenses. So they were taking, we were dropping like flies. And so we went from 30 down to like 15 dudes still standing. There's a sea of corpses around us, and then the server crashes. So we're like, yes, we don't have to escape. But it was, so what we did was, after that huge clusterfuck of everyone just trying to take the middle keep, I was standing there, and I turned around when you spawn at the top of the map. I turn around, there's three huge portals there, and I'm like, hey guys, there's still like three more maps of this. And I was like, what? We hit the M key. So it's a central map, and there's three maps that branch out from it. And each map was supposed to belong to a world. And what we'd realized was, so there's a blue map, a green map, and a red map. So what we'd realized was, we hit M, we'd all been fighting around the major keep in the center, and we'd try to be taking back, like, we were red. We were trying to make everything red in the center. But green had actually taken out our entire map back in, just behind us. So essentially all these, us, like, retards had, like, rushed forward and then just, like, fought with dudes in the middle, just killing, like, wasting time, while green took our entire map. So I was like, oh, hey, how about we just, like, see what we can do? It's only three of us, like, three guildies, Lincoln Forces, who were there at the time, me, Durin, and Masek. And we're like, oh, that, I know what we can do, but we may as well head over to there and see if we can capture supply camps or something. So we head over to the red camp, and it was perhaps the most awesome experience of, like, small group of dudes taking on the world I can think of. I'll let Durin do it again, because he's pretty decent at expounding.
Oh, man. That part was starting to get a little bit fuzzy for me, because I was coming up on 5 in the morning by that point.
It was 1945, and we were, oh, God.
But I do remember that by the time we were done, we had managed to take back close to half that map, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
By ourselves, just the three of us, basically. I mean, there were a couple other people, other randoms that were running around doing stuff as well, but yeah.
It was great. It was me, him, and Maystack. We ran in. We looked around. It's like, okay, this is going to be pretty tough. Like everything's captured by green. But then we realized that the greens had reacted, because knowing that they'd taken our whole world, they'd reacted to our activities in the center. So all the greens has just essentially been at the center, and they just had like a skeleton crew on this world. So we went around, I think, to the left side, and we stuck around the whole map, and we started taking supply camps one by one. I was just three dudes running around the map, taking it all back. It was freaking amazing.
Just the best kind of covert ops.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like tactical striking. It was totally that. So we ran in, took a supply camp, and then suddenly people started realizing what was happening. And we met another group of like 5 to 6 dudes, and then another group of like about 10 dudes. So we're like, okay, we're a big enough group now. We can start taking on a keep. So after taking almost all the supply camps off the map, we walked up to some of their smaller keeps and tried taking them. And that's when, and this is what the part I wanted to talk about, that's when things started clicking for us. Like, we realized what was what. Because once we started taking a supply camp, we realized, okay, so this is how the supply system works. It's a supply camp. You can go there. You can take the supply camp. Then there's a stockpile. You can grab supply there. And also, the supply camp routes doll yaks, which are big, like, yak kind of things, to slowly move along the map and get their way to the major keeps and the major keep to the central keep. I think that was the order it goes. So the doll yaks would be one way to eliminate the cash flow to a guild, but another way would be to take out the supply camp, or even better, take out their keep. So, and that's essentially the line you'd have to go up. So if you want to disable a guild in the area, if you're only 3 dudes, take out a doll yak. If you're 3 to 4 dudes, take out a supply camp, or if you're like us, just be badass and take a supply camp anyway. And and if you're a bunch of more dudes, then you should take out a keep. So we rocked up to the keep as a large group. I think it was, again, yeah, 10 to 20 people. And that's when we realized, if you're standing there and firing, like this is the thing you have to know. If you're standing there and firing at a door, you're doing about maybe 100 damage maximum, usually close to like 10 to 15 damage, 20 damage, right? This is against the door's keep defenses, the keep defenses.
Yeah, to a door that has probably millions of health.
Yeah. You do it, and the health bar doesn't change. It doesn't shift at all. Like, you realize quite quickly that you're quite ineffectual. And a lot of people didn't realize this. Like, back in the first map, which we talked about, people were just, like, firing at doors, like, using their wands or whatever equivalent would be. And what we realized was, okay, if we chuck down a battering ram, a single hit from a battering ram does 8,000 damage to the door. And you can actually see that damage on the door's thing. So it went from a bunch of dudes disorganized, wailing against doors, to very quickly a bunch of dudes who had split themselves up into some guys grabbing supply, other guys throwing down battering rams, other guys keep, like me with the rifle, keeping the defenders away from the edge of their keep. So whenever a mesmer, for example, would come to the edge of his keep, I'd get myself onto him. So I'd try to spike him and get him down and away from our defenses so we can set up our attack quickly.
And that was when that was where I learned that the necromancer's fear can actually be placed on the side of the top of the keep and could fear everybody up there away from the edge.
Hell yeah. It was great. So it was a fantastic revelation, because we suddenly became like this organized mass. But at the same time, we realized that, wait, green were we were greenhorns compared to the green team, who quickly realized that we'd become organized, and more of them started showing up, and they started setting up cannons. And cannons are, like, if you don't like arrow carts, cannons are the shiznit.
Cannons will wreck your shit so fast.
Because what you see is that you're standing there, maybe, for example, in my case, rezzing someone, and suddenly a big white circle about more than 2 dodge distances away would spring up around you. So you're standing there, kneeling down the ground, suddenly a big white circle. You have about 3 seconds before you take about 10,000 damage. And I was a warrior, so I had a huge amount of armor. We got to the point where they'd set up an oil pouring thing and 2 cannons, and they were holding a keep against 40 dudes. It was like 6 guys on the other side, but they were holding the keep against like 40 dudes, because we couldn't take it. Like, the cannons would be wrecking our shit. The oil buckets would be killing everyone who walked into melee range, and especially the battery rams, because you have to go into melee range off the door to set up a battering ram.
And you also have to be in the battering ram in order to use it.
Yeah, exactly. So it'd be crazy. So that was the huge thing. Like, it went from disorganized mass wailing against the door to like a proper medieval style keep defense system. of dudes actually trying to get in, as if they would back then. So you're totally having the people running for interference, engineers on the underground setting up catapults and shit. It was amazing. That was,
yeah.
You know, people casting fireballs and lightning, just like in the Middle Ages.
Exactly.
Fires that too.
Lightning, very, very frightening.
In a few respects, this game and its PvP kind of reminds me of the multiplayer in Mountain Blade Warband.
Yeah.
Even though I mean, they have very different systems. Obviously, Warband does not have people throwing fireballs around. But just in general, with things like dodging and actively moving and the whole siege mechanics as well, it kind of reminds me a lot of that, and I mean that in a very good way.
Yeah. Well, so me and Duren have done our little stint. How about Robbie Mack and Rawson? How do you guys feel about War vs. the World? I'll start with Rawson because you're already speaking. Go ahead. What was your experience?
Well, as I said on the blog post that I made, I thought it was a little bit of a Zerg fest, mostly because the majority of my time playing it, I was part of a large group of people who were basically just making a gigantic war path across the map and just destroying things in sequence.
Yeah, yeah.
But but as you pointed out, it is a bit early to say that. Yes, it is a beta.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be interesting, and I'd like to see it after everyone starts to get the game and like start to really understand the mechanics behind it. As of right now, I think it's a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Right.
But it's not quite as strategic as I would say.
Yeah. You got to get into experiences like what we got into, which was like admittedly off the cuff, but it ended up being like quite a... You have to have people who understand the system, I agree. And you have to have people who want to get together, or at least a chance encounter where everyone gets together and actually achieves, like strives for a goal and achieves it. That's when World versus World really becomes a thing, I would agree. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, Robbie, I was going to pass to Robbie Mack. Robbie Mack, what was your World vs. World experience and how'd you like it?
Oh, it was fantastic. It's exactly what I was hoping it would be, in a sense, despite the fact that I was lagging a lot because my computer blows. But other than that...
I was wondering when he said that you were lagging a bunch in Structured, I was like, how did you do so much work in World then? Good lord.
Some of the parts, like when it was a big, huge... That's why I tried to stay away from the Zerg, because once the... I think it was same type of deal with you guys. We were like attacking a fortress. This is with Maystack I was playing. He would have been a good guest for this because he seems like he played a lot of it.
Oh, he actually... Oh, I won't go into it, but I don't think he's really into the whole podcast.
Okay. Anyways, I was playing with him and we were attacking a fort or whatever, and we had to have at least maybe 20 people, but as you mentioned, it was just people attacking with their swords and casts and whatnot, so not really doing anything. But... in that time frame of however long that was, I don't know, 20 minutes, the other team, like, organized. Again, it was green. I forget who's on green, but they were extremely organized, that world.
I
forget who was, but there was, like, a clan or a guild on there that was quite large.
Actually getting their shit together. Yeah.
So they came in behind us and just destroyed us in that time frame. So they just got in there and just started rebuilding up the wall anyway, so we had to kind of pull away from that. So from that point on, I just kind of stayed away from the Zerg, and I kind of just wandered off on my own. And that's where I think I found a lot of the, I guess, I don't know if you guys experienced, but there's a lot of interesting things that I don't think very many people saw. Like, a lot of people saw, like, the fortresses and everything, but I tried to cover all of the map on each of them. So, I don't know, I think you guys might have seen that one video of that guy doing the jumping thing up in the right hand, like, you know that...
Dude, I can't believe that was in there. Yeah. I totally didn't see it in the game.
That was up in the far left-hand corner of each of the three normal maps. So everyone has that in their own world. It's not in the center one. It's just the three home ones. So I was just...
So give us a rundown of what it was.
I don't know. Essentially up in the corner, like over... Oh, you have to walk a pretty far away from the main fortress of your home world. And... Essentially, I got there, and it was just a bunch of snowy areas, and it was just a walkway going there, and then there's just this underwater area, and I was assuming, I didn't know what it was, there's a big, huge tree and a bunch of floating things, I didn't know exactly what to do, so I was trying to figure out what to do, and I was just killing, what was it, salmon in the water, I was just goofing around there. And I saw them up in the air, and I didn't think anything of it. It's not something I didn't think of, climbing up the side of the wall and start jumping across. But the reason I wandered there is because I was talking to a NPC in the home, I guess,
instance.
Fortress. Yeah.
Oh, what was it? World.
Yeah, yeah. And he, I remember him quickly mentioning, go up here to grab a key. I think there was keys that people were grabbing from there, and it did something, but they got, I guess, some big, huge chests at the end, too. That's the only reason I went up there, because they did make a mention of that. One of the NPCs did mention that. And they also mentioned those, the middle area with the frogs, I think. Who mentioned about the frogs, but I forget who it was, but there...
I don't remember.
There's a center area with a light orb or something. I forget exactly what it's called, but in that area there's these little NPC guys who are guarding this orb, and you have to kill them, try to take it, and then bring it back to your world. You can also help out these frog guys underneath the water, and in order to get the orb, you have to help three different areas underwater in order to get it in the first place. So there's a lot of extra really cool things, that because there's nobody around those areas, so I was able to do it by myself.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So a lot of people are focusing on the fortresses and all this kind of stuff, but there's so much more to it.
Yeah, it sounds like you could spend an entire day just like seeing, trying to see everything in the World Be World area.
Yeah, that's essentially why my first day was just
not longer than a day.
I was just wandering around.
That I didn't even know that stuff. Like, even now, after seeing that video, I didn't know that was that much stuff.
Yeah, it's just
around.
Unbelievable how much stuff, like extra areas, is just fantastic. That's why I liked it so much. Like, I just love all that extra stuff. Like, the combat's great and everything like that, but that extra stuff just makes it even better, in my opinion.
Does it contribute to your team?
Yeah.
Like, did we get any benefits from you doing that?
If you get that orb, I forget what it does, but I think you get more points for it or something. I forget exactly what it did, but that orb definitely does something. I don't know what the keys do, because I never got to get them, since I didn't know you had to jump on those things. So... Yeah, I don't know what those do exactly, but yeah, I know it does do something for your world, and I think it might give you bonuses, actually. So you know how you, if you pulled up that big, huge UI screen...
Oh, in the guild.
Yeah,
it showed you
what bonuses you currently have, so I think those do give you certain bonuses, like the orb, now I'm remembering it, gave you like a lightning storm and it would attack the enemy team if they're in your home world.
Cool.
So cool things like
awesome.
That. Yeah.
So there's actually reason to do it. Not only is it fun, but there's reasons to do those.
Yeah,
like,
and if there's
small things. That's
even
awesome.
For those people that don't, maybe they don't like doing like attacking like a keep or something. There's always something else that they can do. They can go wander off and just fight NPC guys underwater or something like that.
So this was just like a random event that occurred.
No, it wasn't even a random event. It was just I was wandering around and came across this. Once I went underwater, there was an event there to help those little frog guys. I can't remember the names of them, but
Heckets.
Heckets, yeah.
How to help the frog people.
Yeah, so you can, there's a little event to help them. But the.
I think that'll be my main thing in World v. World. I will always be trying to get the frog people on my side.
Wait, so do you guys actually play much of the underwater stuff? I didn't get to see any of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't do any of it.
I have some opinions about that. It's because this relates back to the melee system. So I think the spear is just completely useless. So you have two different options. There's a spear and the trident. The trident is more of a ranged one, does less damage. But the spear is...
What class were you playing?
I was playing Necromancer.
So I think it's similar for all of them.
Yeah,
I think
you get spear or trident, regardless of what class, just those two options. So the spear is the melee, and then the trident is the
spear
ranged.
Gun?
No, it's just like actual spear, so you actually have to poke them type thing.
No, but don't you also get a spear gun?
There are other weapons as well.
I've seen a spear gun as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, those are the ones I was experiencing with, so I guess this is just my opinion on these two so far. But
yeah, just go on.
I had, when I was first doing the World versus World, I just had the spear. And with that Z axis, it just made it almost impossible to hit the little NPC guys, because they would still be moving around. This is the first time I really experienced that the NPC was still dodging around and trying to avoid my attacks, and I couldn't hit him. It was almost impossible with the Z-axis. You had to be like almost on the same axis as him, so you couldn't be below him or above him to attack him with the spear.
Oh, so you can't attack upwards.
Yeah, so I felt that the spear was almost useless, but the trident, you could attack below or above. So it was kind of odd in that sense, so I just felt they might need to improve that as well when they're doing the melee system underwater.
Yeah, I think I mentioned, especially, I think they talk about the spear. They want to figure out how to help people with that Z-axis stuff.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't know that you couldn't attack upwards, and that sounds like a huge issue, because people have enough trouble keeping up with casters and just like normal dudes on 2D plane.
Fuck. Yeah, so it was
underwater stuff sounds like
definitely interesting, but tough. Definitely tough. It was hard to get used to.
Did anyone else play the underwater stuff?
I played a bit of it.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. How'd you think of it? What'd you think?
I didn't think it was bad. Well, I played a bit of Aeon back in the day, and that has like light in it, so it's kind of similar. So I guess I was more used to it. But the thing that bothered me was with the ranged weapon, the spear gun, as a thief. Like every time you shot, there'd be like a little bubble effect, so it got impossible to see.
Yeah.
I had no idea what the hell I was shooting at.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So it was so every time you shot, it had a bubble effect. So what are the skills like for the thief with the?
I don't even remember. I didn't do that much of it.
Was there much of it? Was like an unload or equivalent? Like, did you find that there were equivalents?
There was like a little like shoot back, like the sort of dodge, like sort of like the I know there's a ranger bow skill that does that, like sort of like that. And I think there was like a poison cloud that you could lay down that anything that swam through it would get poisoned.
So that they were different entirely from your weapon set.
Yes,
like the
it's much different.
Cool. So it was just you two. I didn't, and me and Durin didn't. Shinboy, did you? No, this is Shinboy. I'm talking to you. Once. Rosen, did you see any underwater stuff?
Yeah, I did. At one point, I circle strafed a fish.
That sounds about as much as I got during one of the quests. Yeah.
Yeah. This
yeah.
Is TV, right?
It was actually pretty interesting. I enjoyed it. Interestingly enough, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but at least with my human character, when you jump down into the water, it totally puts a breathing mask on your character's face.
Yeah, it's an equipment piece.
Yeah, that's a piece of equipment.
Yeah,
it's actually a replaceable equipment piece. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, one thing I will say... Go ahead.
I was going to say, you can remove it, but it's totally cosmetic. It doesn't actually change anything.
Okay.
You still don't have a breath meter.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I didn't spend a whole lot of time underwater, so obviously I didn't unlock...
Oh, all the skills and stuff.
Any skills.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I unlocked any. Maybe I unlocked one. Either way, naturally, I have a friend who most of his experience is, like, a lot of Asian MMOs. Like, he played Final Fantasy XI and Final Fantasy XIV. So naturally, when he found out he has underwater skills, he had to immediately grind to unlock them all. Like, dude, it's not that kind of game.
It's not what we do here.
One thing I will say is, like, from a technical standpoint, I did one quest that involved killing things in the water, so that's about all I really did. But from a technical standpoint, one thing I will say about the game is, the animations are very smooth, and one thing I really like is that when your character is underwater and you're, you know, say throwing your spear or doing something like that, or stabbing with a spear or whatever, the animations with the body and the legs of the character make sense for being underwater, which is a lot more than you can say for any other MMO where you're sitting in water and casting stuff.
Yeah, very true.
Like, I know WoW they recently fixed theirs, where they no longer your character doesn't just stand in the middle of the water while doing their casting stuff, but instead what happens is the bottom of the body just doesn't move and the top does the casting animation. So it still looks super janky. But I really like that in Guild Wars they took the time to actually go through and do special animations for specifically water combat.
Cool.
Not just animations, but in general, like most of their animations are full body.
Yeah.
There's frames of animation put in between. Like, if you run around and simply switch directions, it's not just a switch.
Oh man, don't get me started with Sura. I can't wait to play them. But that little stopping animation on theirs, where they kind of slide to a stop and turn around, can't wait to play that. But anyway,
well, just the.
Okay. I think we've strayed quite a while far away from World versus World here. But
I'm sorry, the game is gorgeously animated.
Hey, underwater has a W in it. It's close enough.
Yeah.
Although there's underwater sections. Anyway, one last topic before we have to get off.
Wait, I have a question about World versus World.
Go on.
So basically, what I would see sometimes while I was playing PvE, we're on the World versus World screen. Some worlds would have a significant lead over other worlds. So would do you see any chance of there being like one world would be extremely unbalanced compared to another world? Is there a...
They actually do account for that. There will be instances where it will be two smaller worlds versus one large.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah, they're still figuring it out at the moment. I think, not for us, I don't think it really happened to Yak's Bend, but which is what we were playing on. But the Guild Wars Guildcast guys, they actually started off in one set of servers, and they quickly, as they were getting into it, ArenaNet swapped them over to so they're against a bit more active server. So when it actually comes to the game, how it'll actually work is when you the first ones will be of clusterfuck. But after the first set of 2 weeks, because these work in 2 week time periods, they get the results of what the activity levels were like, when people were on, how much like how good they were when they were doing well for support, and they try to do matchmaking from there. So hopefully, because there are 48 servers, hopefully they'll actually get to a system where the more active servers versus the more active servers, and so on and so forth as it gets through. But yeah, out of the box, I actually think that you're pretty much accurate. It'll be a bit unbalanced out of the box until they figure that kind of shit out. But the point we were going to move on to, because and thank you for that question, but the last bit, because we're hitting an hour and a half, which was my duration aim for the episode, but I really do want to talk about this. Traveling in world versus world.
Ah, yes.
How does it work?
This game needs mounts.
It needs something. It needs something.
When you die in World v. World and you need to get back to, say, that central keep, you're looking at probably at least a 6-minute walk.
Why don't they have waypoints? Not longer. Just waypoints. You just pay money and you waypoint.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, hopefully they introduce something like that at least.
Yeah, because how it works at the moment is you have a... Because in all the maps, all of the... groups of all the servers have their own, essentially their home part of that map. So in their home maps, it's in the center. In the big one in the center, there's on the outside edge, all three have their own home kind of keep. In that keep, you have your teleporter. And essentially, as far as we could see, and we did look around for it, that's the only teleporter you have access to in that map.
So, yeah, so even if you hold another keep, you can't teleport to that other keep.
Could you teleport to Stone Miss Castle, though? I thought if you were controlling that, you could teleport to that one.
Nope.
No?
No, you shouldn't teleport to that one either.
We specifically looked. That was the question we asked, because the first like hour or 2 hours of what we were doing was at Stone Mist. We specifically went to Stone Mist and had a look around, made sure that we weren't freaking tripping and there wasn't a teleporter there. There wasn't one. And then we were like, okay, maybe it's a situation where if you control the center map, you have the option to build a teleporter. Maybe you have to get supply and build one. And then we looked around for that. No.
Because
you couldn't even build a teleporter.
I remember something when I was looking at the map. It would say... one of these waypoints is currently contested or something like that. And I could have swore it was at Stone Miss Castle. Maybe I was just seeing a different...
Are you sure that wasn't PvE?
That happened.
PvE, is contested.
Oh, okay, maybe that then.
Yeah.
If there's an event that rolls into a small town that has a waypoint, waypoint becomes contested. But in PvP, the same system could work, but I just didn't see any other... What were you guys' experiences? Like, Shinboy, how was your experience? Did you have that problem?
No, I really didn't. I didn't get involved with too many like big fights, so I wasn't really dying that much in World v. World. So I didn't really have that problem.
Rawson, did you?
As far as movement and travel time, I do agree that it was exceedingly long at certain points, especially since when I was playing, we did not own the central keep, which was the only other waypoint. So. Naturally, of course, our Zerg managed to wrap around the keep towards the opposite side of the map. So I'm having to run all the way around it, and oh shit, there's a group on my way back, and oh god, now I gotta hide.
Yeah.
And yeah, it would definitely benefit from some additional, or at least some options of waypoints, like. I can understand why they wouldn't want people being able to hop around the map at any point, but at least let me be able to, from the main base, go to any point.
We just charge you 5 gold per teleport. That's like a reasonable price.
No.
That discourages people, but at the same, if you want to teleport anywhere, you got to pay up.
Wait,
it's like those gold sinks.
Maybe you misspoke. Did you mean 5 gold, or do you mean 5 copper?
Why 5 copper is nothing. You wouldn't be losing gems. Anything. 500 gems.
Yeah, he's trying to make gems. It expensive. That way
$2.
That's how they're going to get you.
$2.
You want to defend this keep? Give us 10 bucks.
Win.
The high keep goes to highest bidder. Bidding starts at 500 gems.
Let's keep
I didn't realize that EA was making this.
Are we going to have to install Origin? Oh, God.
Oh, oh, no.
Pre-order canceled.
And with that...
Guild Wars 2, made by BioWare ArenaNet.
I'm shaking my head. Well, yeah, that's generally...
That romance options.
So wrapping up, we'll go around another round table for this podcast. What everyone thought about World vs. World and the score. I'm just going to go first. It's 5 out of 5. It's awesome. I loved it. And fuck all the haters.
Yeah, 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
So since it's a beta, you'd like boost this up to 6 out of 5.
Yeah, like 12 out of 5.
All right.
Anyway, I just loved it. But I'll pass it around. I don't want that to affect any of your opinions. But, you know, if you want to play to the host here. Robbie Mac, what was your opinions in school?
It was absolutely great. I just loved it. But note to self, Intel Pentium 4 processor. Need upgrade.
Holy shit. Are you still on a Pentium 4?
Yes, this, okay, this was my computer. I bought it back in, what was it, 04, 05? And this was like, my computer was prime back in the day. It was prime. Like, I still have my GeForce 6800.
Yo, it can run Doom 3.
So this thing's like ancient now, legacy machine for sure.
I love how, but holy it still shit. Runs Guild Wars.
Yeah, like, I can still play the game. Yeah. Like, it was quite good. Like, that's reassuring the fact that people can't afford a big gaming machine can still run the game, but definitely there were some points where
combined with the unoptimization, you just get that slow down, especially when a bunch of people on screen.
Yeah, that's why I'm really hoping for this next time around is that the optimization is a lot better.
Totally.
I tried streaming that game and it just fucking killed my computer.
Yeah, I think Shadow of the World was getting maybe 12 frames a second when streaming. You just couldn't. He just couldn't do it. But Robbie, what would you give it if you were to give it a score?
5 or 5, for sure. Love it. Like, hey. I just love all the extra things that are in it. It's going to be great. Can't wait.
Dude, yeah, I was going to give it a 5 out of 5 everywhere anyway, but after hearing about that, it's like, as I said, like a 6 out of 5, 7 out of 5.
Oh,
anyway.
And the traveling was the reason I did that. I died and I couldn't travel anywhere, so that's why I started wandering.
Dude, yeah, I think that is clearly something they're going to fix, which is why I'm not using it as a huge detractor from the experience. Yeah. But it was literally 12 minutes. Because the second half, when we were doing those tactical strikes, it was great because we got each other up. Like, we made sure that we rezzed instead of traveling. That's a huge point. Like, in the bigger instances, where it's maybe 30 people against the keep and, like, 10 people die due to one oil drop, then I can see why you can't really rezz. But if you're doing small groups, then traveling is pretty much negated if you keep everyone rezzed and happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But cool. Rawson, what would you say it was like?
Like I said, it was a lot more fun than I expected. I'm going to give it the same score I gave the structured PvP, a 4 out of 5. It strikes me as definitely something which I would enjoy as far as just being something that I can relax with.
Right.
It's definitely a more subdued, a more, like they said, they were intending for it to be a more casually oriented PvP.
Yeah.
And I think they nailed it.
Cool. And I don't think I need to ask you, but Durin?
Yeah, I definitely would say, assuming that the travel stuff is fixed at some point, I would definitely say 5 out of 5 as well. That was easily... I'm glad that I saved that for kind of one of my last experiences of the game.
Yeah.
Because otherwise that would have been my entire fucking weekend.
Exactly. I just started my Human Warrior, and I was just like running around PvE and stuff, and he jumped into World vs. World. And we were like, oh, let's just see how this is like. Like, hours later,
five in the morning, I'm like, okay, guys, I've got to get some sleep.
It was great. Shinboy?
I don't know. I kind of want to give it a 3, not because I didn't like it.
It's cool.
Because I didn't play much of it.
Right.
I didn't really see anything. Like, I found a few randoms at some obscure hour, and we, like, took, like, a supply depot or two. But I feel like I didn't really get the full breadth of it, so I can't really give it. True
That's cool.
score.
That's better, yeah.
No, just give it a 5. Who cares? Just give it a 5.
Going for the okay,
score,
newbie,
I'll give it.
Rounding us out and probably ending the show soon too, what would you give World vs. World, Newbie Roma?
You know, I didn't really like it, but, you know,
okay.
I felt that it could have, you know, fixed a lot of stuff. 5 out of 5.
Well, that was Lincoln Cast for today. I'd like to thank our guests. Does anyone, I'm going to let everyone sign out. Robbie Mac.
Goodbye.
Oh, do you have anything to say? Do you have anything to plug?
What could I plug? If you want to be an officer in the guild, we're probably going to need officers for sure. So.
Oh, I want to be an officer. Yeah. Let so me be an officer.
We're going to need probably a lot for this. Dude. Growing at this pace. Like, how many do we have? Like 130 now or something? So
yeah, something like that.
It's going to just get ridiculous. So we're going to definitely need officers to help out and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, so both me and Robbie are guild leaders. You can just PM us on the site if you are interested, or just post in the leaders thread, which is stickied. But yeah, thanks for that. I completely forgot. We totally do. Because we can't be online all the time. When we're setting up the guild and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Durin, do you have anything to plug? Do you want to sign up?
I guess for anyone who is still kind of on the fence about the game, I'll go ahead and shamelessly plug my Twitch channel, because hopefully next... beta weekend, they'll have it better optimized, so I'm going to try to stream some of it.
Cool.
And so that'll be twitch.tv/Durin.
Nice.
And I'll try to get as much as I can that weekend in if it'll let me.
Nice. That's cool. I like the fact that we're actually getting plugs here. Chinboy?
yeah, I have like a small gaming site that I run, and I've been trying to post like videos and like screenshots and whatnot of just me kicking around in the game, so... PlugandPlayGaming.com. Cool. It's awesome.
Nice.
So like on Monday, the stress test, I'm gonna try and get some, like, if it's not too crazy, I'm gonna try and get some footage of that.
Right, and we'll talk about that in a second because I completely wiped about it. But Rawson,
it was nice being here.
Never coming back.
Oh. Fuck. Never coming back, am I?
No, I like you having you on. But do you have anything to plug?
No, I don't really have anything to plug other than my Giant Bomb profile.
Hey.
That's something.
Yeah.
He's Rawson on Giant Bomb.
I'm the only one who's not afraid to use my real name.
Nibarama.
I'd like to plug my resume for guild leader, leadership officer, whatever. You can check that out. Somewhere. Okay,
I guess I should probably plug one more thing I did for some reason didn't even think about. If anybody, for whatever reason, enjoys listening to me talk about games, I'm also on a weekly podcast on another website.
Hey.
D-GU.com. It's Digital Gaming Underground, and it's the 60 FPS podcast. And
nice.
I'm one of three hosts on that show.
Fantastic. Cool.
Pretty awesome name for a podcast, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, 60 FPS. I like it. That's awesome.
That's something I dream of. 60 FPS.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad. That's depressing. But just around, just before we go, we couldn't get to do a news section this time around. We're planning to do it next time around.
Can I read the news? I want to read the news.
Well, there's not something to read. It was more of going to be a freeform kind of thing. I didn't have any quotes or anything. But there's going to be a stress test Monday. I can't make it till it'll be 4 a.m. my time on Tuesday. But will any of you be on the stress test?
Yep.
All 7 hours.
Yep.
I might try.
I'll be on it as much of it as I can.
So that's essentially like everyone but me.
Well, I'm gonna I probably won't be able to. I gotta do some collections at the university, so...
Oh, okay, so Robbie can't make it.
Yeah.
2 hours, then I have to go to work.
About 30 minutes. Crap.
Oh, but then after work, I get to get Diablo 3, so it kind of evens out.
Awesome.
So you're wasting hard drive space, is what you're doing.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, that's fantastic. Hopefully people who listen to this give you guys a friend invite, see you in the game. I wish you luck for the stress test. It's going to be awesome. I really want to see more footage out of it. I want to see if you guys are up for it, to the listeners out there, if you can hop in some PvP, perhaps join us there. And I wouldn't mind getting a bunch of more people for some reactions maybe next weekend. We'll see how this goes. It seems like this podcast is quickly becoming a weekend thing and a weekly thing, which I wasn't entirely expecting, but we'll see. But just quickly, I'm not sure if Skype just dropped, but it could have. I can't hear anyone.
Still hear you.
Back. So just quickly, you can follow us on Twitter at the Lincoln Cast.
Oh, no way. There's a Twitter?
I know.
Holy shit.
Yes, there is.
You should make a Facebook group.
I made it this week. We'll see. I want to gauge how many people are actually listening to this. So hopefully if you're
Google
following...
Plus.
You can do that, so I can get an idea of like what our audience is like. I have no idea. I see there's about 100 to 200 people listening every week, but I have no idea who you guys are. So do that. You can also email us at thelinkincast@gmail.com if you have any questions, or message me on the site at selfcynic or Robbie Mac, obviously, because he's another guild leader. But that's pretty much it. Thank you for listening to the Lincoln Cast. This has been a longer than expected show at an hour and 45 minutes ish. But yeah, I'm hoping to keep it down to this length. I think this length is pretty good. 3 hours is a bit much. We'll probably keep it to there if it's another beta weekend event, because we do want those impressions and stuff. But yeah, hopefully you can join us next week. Thanks.
Bye bye.
Later.
Bye.
See ya.